Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us. It's Thursday. We are on the doorstep of a three-day weekend, well, at least here in the United States. Wherever you may be listening in the world this morning, this afternoon, this evening, we welcome you. Are you listening by MP3 download? Who knows what time of day it may be? But we are at your service 24-7 here at KFUO. You can download the Bible study, take it with you wherever you go from our website, kfuo.org. Look up the archives for the Bible study or for Studio A, which is the other program that I host, or any other number of fine programs that we do here. But here we are at the end of Daniel. We are in Daniel chapter 12. Tomorrow we will sort of do a review and wrap-up of it, but today we have an entire chapter of only 13 verses. Aren't you lucky, Pastor Hendrick?
13, I thought that's an unlucky number.
I mean, yesterday 45 verses, and today you get 13.
13,
yeah. Well, I guess it depends on translation or, you know.
That's a baker's dozen.
What is?
13.
13 is?
Yeah. A baker's dozen.
I never
dozen.
Get 13 when I go to the bakery.
Well, you don't have a baker that gives you a baker's dozen, do you?
No, I sure don't.
You ought to smile more. Maybe they'd give you a baker's dozen.
No, that's too much of an effort.
Time. I'm seeing you smiling right now.
Because I have good friends in the studio here. I've got Pastor Tom Hendrick and your lovely lady wife.
My lovely lady wife. I hope she's a lady. I know she is, by the way. Okay, let's.
You're serving the wrong denomination if she isn't, my friend.
You know, I want to turn the camera on you, though, and let all the people out there see your smile, because you do. You radiate the joy of Jesus in your heart. It's good to see that. It's good to hear that. And even when I'm just listening to you on the radio down in Purville,
yeah.
Yep. I can hear that come through. And
that's right.
Again, I thank God for you and compliment you and continue to beg his blessings upon you as you speak forth the good news about Jesus Christ and the blessed gifts of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life that he has given us.
I just take what I've learned from others.
Well, you do a right good job of
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, by way of formal introduction, Pastor Tom Hendrick, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Perryville, Missouri, down in Perry County.
The manger of the Missouri Synod.
Where we can hardly wait for the apple butter to start cooking. That
Ooh.
Means the Frona Saxon Memorial Festival is nearby this coming fall. We have to
It'll be here before
that.
You know it.
Oh, yeah.
Six months away.
So everybody wants to know. See, when I meet fans that listen to the program or follow KFU, they always want to know where you're going to lunch today.
Well, let's see. Today,
so let's get it out there right up front.
It'll be one of two places. It may be just Applebee's. I don't mean just Applebee's, but, you know, Applebee's. Or it may be Coco Luco Brazil.
Coco Luco Brazil.
On Euclid Avenue.
Oh, over in the Central West End.
Yeah. Let's see. Two entrees and two glasses of vino.
Really?
Yeah. We've been there before. It's a good place.
Is it?
Yes. Wonderful food and good service, and it's a delight. So we're kind of still, the jury is out right now.
Yeah, that's if people can picture where Forest Park is in the city of St. Louis, that would be at the northeast corner, I guess.
Yeah, somewhere up
Forest
there.
Forest Park in the area, in the hospital district.
Correct, yeah. University City-ish?
Yeah, City, St. University
like
City all comes together right about there.
Yeah.
Kind of a neat part of town. A little eclectic, a little different, but lots of neat little street cafes and things like that. I think you've picked a good place.
Yeah. So besides, this one expires May 30, so we've got to get it used.
Well, you do that.
Although the investment in these, by the way, the investment of these never expire. You know, the money you spent for them. It's just the discount expires.
Yeah, we have those also.
Yeah.
My wife has seen those, and then timing works against us. But at least you don't lose what you put into it. Well, this morning, gosh almighty, we started out on a very happy note here, but we're going to have to talk about some very serious things here in Daniel 12.
But what we're doing is crowning the book with joy, great joy and a great victory. Oh,
really?
Absolutely, yeah.
Hmm.
I was excited to get chapter 12.
Really?
Yeah, that's much better than a lot of the book I could have gotten, you know?
And you don't say that because it's only 13 verses.
No, although that, I mean, you know, can't beat that either, you know. But, I don't want to give away too much of what I have in store for us, but, you know, the key to the book of Revelation is the book of Daniel. And if you want to understand Daniel, go and read the book of Revelation, because they're both, as others have already said before I came on board today, they're both that apocalyptic literature, speaking in tongues, so to speak, symbolic language, but yet you have to distinguish between what is symbolic and what is realistic.
And then also the Jewish literature tends to go in circles, so you pass the same point.
A spiral, that's correct.
A couple of different times. From a little bit of a different perspective. Yep. Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah, but overall, and this is what's so exciting about it to me, same with the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the dominant message is that in and through Jesus Christ, we have victory. In the Old Testament, it was the coming Messiah. By the way, it's all about promise. It's all about promise. The Old Testament had the promise of the coming Messiah, and it was given time and time and time again. Here in the New Testament, we have the fulfillment of the promise, but it's all about promise. That's what the gospel is all about, is God's promise to mankind to rescue us from the mess we've put ourselves into, and Jesus Christ is the answer. Now, that sounds very simplistic, and in a certain degree it is. Why should we muddy the water or make things difficult? Jesus Christ is Lord.
Well, by the time we get to the end of Daniel chapter 12, the basic answer to his question is, you're going to live, you're going to die, and you're going to wait for the resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That's pretty much the message.
And at the resurrection, there's only one of two places where you will then live. Which raises an interesting point. Let's see, have we begun this yet? Are we off air or are we on air?
Oh, we're on air.
We are on air.
We've been hot for about 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And we haven't even prayed yet, right?
Well, we're going to get
there.
You got to set these things up, Pastor.
I understand. Yeah. As we progress through these messages of Daniel, and then, of course, John in the book of Revelation, what we're ultimately saying is, you know, this life in which we live here is a mess. And it's going to get messier as we get closer to the end. That's not a way of predicting when the end will be. Let's not get into that. But rather, it's a way of reminding us that the solution is faith in Jesus Christ and what he has worked for us in order to rescue us from those three arch enemies, sin, Satan, and death itself, which is a very prominent theme in these verses here, okay? And one other thing as we set this up, we oftentimes talk about eternal life and eternal death, and I think that maybe gives some people a wrong impression. Everybody is going to live eternally, but the question is, will you live in the presence of the source of life, God, Almighty God himself, or will you live outside the presence of the source of life, which is eternal death, even though you're living? And finally, when we get into this more, we want to talk about the two dimensions of both heaven and hell. Very important, physical and spiritual, and those shed some more light on it, too.
Well, let's begin with prayer, then.
Now, it's going to be a little extensive with the prayer today, because in order to coincide with what we're studying, I've looked up some prayers out of our new hymnal. Well, it's not new anymore, but it's sort of new.
It's been out for a while.
Right. And some of these are talking about world conditions today, i.e. Oklahoma and other places, and also spiritual conditions, the church, personal life, etc. So bear with me. This may take a few minutes. Okay? In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'm going to read the label of each of these. Time of disaster. Almighty God, merciful Father, your thoughts are not our thoughts, your ways are not our ways. In your wisdom, you have permitted the disastrous tornadoes to befall the people of Oklahoma and other places. We implore you, let not the hearts of your people despair, nor our faith fail us, but sustain and comfort us. Direct all efforts to attend the injured, console the bereaved, and protect the helpless. Bring hope and healing that we may find relief and restoration in times of affliction and distress. Almighty and most merciful God, in this earthly life we endure sufferings and death before we enter into eternal glory. Grant us grace at all times to subject ourselves to your holy will and to continue steadfast in the true faith to the end of our lives, that we may know the peace and joy of the blessed hope of the resurrection of the dead and of the glory of the world to come. And as we go now to a section called Baptismal Life, very important prayers here. First of all, life as a baptized child of God. Merciful Father, through holy baptism you called us to be your own possession. Grant that our lives may evidence the working of your Holy Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, according to the image of your only begotten Son. For divine guidance, Almighty and ever-living God, you make us both to will and to do those things that are good and acceptable in your sight. Let your fatherly hand ever guide us, and your Holy Spirit ever be with us, to direct us in the knowledge and obedience of your word, that we may obtain everlasting life. And finally, although there are a lot more that I would love to read, let's go to before the study of God's word. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, without your help, our labor is useless, and without your light, our search is in vain. Invigorate our study of your holy word, that by due diligence and right discernment, we may establish ourselves and others in your holy faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Again, I know that's lengthy, but my goodness, maybe we need to start giving more time and energy to prayer, given the whole situation of the world that we're in today.
Well, we will get to that in a moment. But first, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and KFUO at KFUO.org from anywhere in the world that you may be listening to us by way of stream. Here's a tip for you. If you happen to download the program by way of MP3 and you're listening to it later and you come up with a question about a part of the broadcast, and even though it may be something that was covered a couple of months ago, certainly send me that email. Let me know the question. I'll track down that pastor and we'll get you an answer. That's a promise I make to you today.
That's good. That's good. You know, there are oftentimes situations that come up in the Bible studies at my present congregation, past ones, where people ask questions, quite frankly, I can't answer. And I tell them the same thing, Roland, and I compliment you for this.
Ask my wife.
How'd you know?
We have a relationship.
Are you reading my mind? Yes. What is this, huh? I tell them, I don't know the answer, but I will research it for you.
Yes.
And I'll bring back some answer. Hopefully it's right. Yep. Now, once again, as you know, I highly respect the fact that this is your show.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
You are the leader.
All right.
I follow.
All right.
But may I please suggest something today?
Please, go right ahead.
And you may be already ahead of me on this.
I have my pages aimed at the trash can now.
No. Would you kindly today start off by reading the entire section?
Oh, I was planning on that.
Wonderful.
See, we are connected.
Okay,
here.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you.
But may I ask you a couple of questions before we do that?
Sure.
Because since we're talking about a man who's at the end of his life, Daniel.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
No, well, we all are in a sense. Without hope of the eternal, what's the point of it all?
There is none.
I cannot understand people who go through life. There was a moment on CNN last night where Wolf Blitzer is interviewing a woman holding a small baby, young woman. They've survived the tornado, and he says to her, "Are you thankful to God that he brought you through this?" And there's a pause, and an awkward pause, and she looks at him and goes, "Yeah, but I'm an atheist."
That reminds me of my...
And Wolf didn't know how to come back. Sure. Like, well, hamana, hamana, hamana. Well, that's nice, but at least you're still here. Congratulations.
It's interesting, in our military circles, you know I've got a background in the military during the Vietnam War. And it was a common saying, especially among us Christians, there are no atheists in foxholes. You know, it's interesting for somebody to deny the reality of God and yet cry out, "Oh God!" Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, here we get a life. I mean, if you look at the way we as a people live today, you know, it's either a life of nothing more than an enslavement to a fear of dying. All right, or it's a life lived with just this preoccupation of denying that you're ever going to die.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And what does that accomplish? How does that get you through the night?
Yeah. I wonder if there could be a both and to that. Could there be a fear of dying and also a preoccupation with I'll never die? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, the old Adam in us.
Well, we live as if there's no tomorrow.
There you go. In fact, Sally and I, as we do all the time, we discuss what's coming up on our trip up here. That's to keep me awake and keep her sane. But people's attitudes toward life, and we in our American culture and society are living in a time of drug infestation, legal, over-the-counter drugs, you know, and pleasure infestation. What occupies our attention, what continues to drive so much that we say and do, is to feel good, nothing wrong with that necessarily, and to be pleasured. What's fun? I don't remember the statistics I read, but the sales of legal over-the-counter drugs today is just an enormous thing. And most of it is aimed at relieving pain. Again, it's not that that's bad in and of itself, but then we have to ask that three-letter word question. Why? Why?
Suffering is a bad thing. That's why.
And yet Scripture talks about suffering as a thing. You know, if it proceeds from the right reasons. Now, if it's for self-pity and you know, poor me and all that stuff, well, obviously, no, that's not right. But when it proceeds from a confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then we hear Paul's words to the Romans: we must suffer with Christ in order to be glorified with Christ, meaning we share in his suffering, because we know that what is coming is the glorification for which he suffered and died, rose again, to have for us who could not have it for ourselves.
Based on that, I would say how many people by that would be encouraged to start a series of evangelism works in their congregation and title it "Come Suffer with Us."
Ooh, yeah, few,
yeah.
None.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't that put us into the context of Daniel and what was going on
exactly.
at his time?
Yeah.
In my sermon this past weekend, I had the pleasure of preaching Pentecost Sunday this past week as well as I could, because my throat was really gone south then. But I mentioned to the people how... And I gave examples, a whole list of examples of things going haywire in the world today and in the church and the family, and how we are accelerating downward in our society and culture. And all these things that are happening, I believe God is allowing in order to give us a wake-up call. Wake up before you self-destruct. Is that the message of Daniel? Is that what's been going on?
I would agree with that.
The message of Revelation?
One of a couple of,
You know? Wake up. Realize reality.
Well, I'm taking you down this path for a few moments before we read the text, because we're going to get to two groups of people identified at the midpoint of Daniel 12, and that is those who know stuff and those who understand stuff.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and the question is, which one is which?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people in this world know stuff. Think they've got it all. You know, Oh, who is it? Can't think of the fellow's name. The journalist who died recently, who was the prominent atheist. You know, just roiled against the church. And then you've got all those other guys out there, the neo-atheists that are out there. And they know stuff.
Right. Very knowledgeable.
Don't seem to understand much. Yeah. But they know stuff.
Isn't it interesting? And sadly, I had a classmate, a high school classmate, that at least fell into, I hope he's still not in it today, super intellectual guy. I mean, just as smart can be. And sadly, his intellect led him into himself and away from Jesus Christ. Because, quite frankly, Jesus Christ doesn't make sense. It doesn't make, he doesn't make intellectual sense. He makes
Are you about to use the P word?
I'm not sure which word that is.
Paradox?
Ah, oh. What, that's two doctors that are living together?
Two doctors living together, I guess. Yeah,
okay. Hopefully husband and wife.
Well, when you say he doesn't make sense,
right,
a lot of it is very paradoxical. Yeah.
And yet that's the wisdom of the wise. And that wisdom of the wise, the paradoxical, only makes sense in the context of faith. Faith. Not what I know and understand. Salvation by grace through understanding and knowledge, right? Isn't that what Scripture says?
Yes.
No, it doesn't. Salvation by grace through faith.
Gosh, you're right.
In Jesus Christ.
Yes, of course.
Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be ignorant Christians. That doesn't mean that we need to be simpletons. Not at all. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is an informed thing. You've heard me say this before. People have accused us Christians of being blind-faithed Christians. No, we are not blind-faithed Christians. We are informed-faithed Christians. And God's Word, including Daniel and John in the book of Revelation and other places, inform our faith by means of which we become more knowledgeable, wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ.
And the folks who know stuff confuse me. Because on the one hand, they live as if there's no tomorrow and it's all about life and dying is the worst thing that can happen. And then we have crafted for ourselves, we have manufactured for ourselves a culture that is based on nothing short of necromancy.
Oh, yeah.
We love death. We love abortion. We love euthanasia. We love all this kind of stuff. Now, again, that's a broad brush.
Now, there's the irony. There's the other word. We talked about paradox while going on. There we have irony.
Yeah.
Sally was mentioning to me this morning, we have a little controversy going on down in Perryville about this sculpin fish that they've discovered in some of the caves. Perryville is built on caves, by the way. I don't know if people knew that. And they've discovered this little fish that apparently is only located there in Perry County caves. And the conservationists now are making a big thing about preserving it. And the headline in the paper today said it could cost anywhere from $140,000 to $4 million in order to preserve this little fish. And yet, we don't seem to have any problem snuffing out human life. Newborn life, before birth, after birth, as has just once again become very well known. What's with us? What's with us? I don't know. Now, here's part of what's with us, and it's how we approach things spiritually. If we approach things spiritually from the inside to the outside, then we're doomed to destruction. We've got to understand that spiritual things in the realm of Almighty God and Jesus Christ are approached from the outside to the inside. God comes to us from the outside through word and sacrament and invades us, if you will, and changes us. It doesn't go from the inside where we come up with our fancy ideas and our theories and our solutions and then work to the outside.
Pastor Hendrick, I appreciate you taking time to set that up because it gives good context for what we're going to get into when we get back from the break. As we go through Daniel chapter 12, only 13 verses. We can do this in a half hour, I'm confident. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and KFUO at KFUO.org. We'll be back in just a moment. Stick around.
Here at KFUO, we're celebrating moms during the entire month of May. You have a chance to win your mother a Grace Digital Wi-Fi radio. With this Wi-Fi radio, your mom can listen to KFUO 24 hours a day in stereo anywhere in the world. Just go to Facebook.com/KFUO radio to enter. Then post a comment on why your mother should win this Wi-Fi radio. The entry with the most likes wins. Follow the complete guidelines on our webpage at KFUO.org or Facebook page at Facebook.com/KFUO radio. Remember to have your friends go to our Facebook page today, like us today, then have them vote for your entry, maybe another, or they could enter their mothers in the contest as well. The contest will end and the winner will be announced on May 31st. Celebrate your mom with a chance to win her this great Wi-Fi radio from your friends at KFUO, the worldwide messenger of good news.
Let's celebrate.
Today, you brushed your teeth, you combed your hair, you did the crossword, you went to work, you had a meeting, you ate your lunch, you did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? It's not difficult to acknowledge that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Most people who have studied and applied the various disciplines of science are ready to affirm that there is a natural order in the world around us, and that is too predictable to be haphazard, so it must be from someplace other than us. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul reminds us, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived by the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. We continue in the Christian creed and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. We also believe in a God who works divine interventions in human history. Here's another divine intervention into human history described by the prophet Moses to the second generation of the children of Israel who had been freed 40 years before from Egyptian bondage. Has any people ever heard the voice of a God speaking out of a fire as you have heard and lived? Or has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by terrifying displays of power as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? To you it was shown so that you would acknowledge that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. So acknowledge today and take heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. Keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am commanding you today for your own well-being and that of your descendants after you, so that you may long remain in the land the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Let's pray. Lord, while we can see your hand in the created order, help us also to acknowledge the movement of your mighty hand throughout human history. Give us the eyes to see and the ears to listen. For we pray in the name of Jesus, your mightiest source of deliverance for all mankind. Amen.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Pastor Tom Hendrick is here from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Perryville, Missouri. I'm Roland Lettner, alongside Sally, good pastor's wife, off to lunch, Brazilian fare, I think.
Coco Luoco or something like that, Brazil.
Something like that. That sounds sounds good. I'll meet you over there when the program's done.
Hey, by the way,
yes, sir.
An interesting announcement. Our baby, our youngest child, recently announced his engagement to be married.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Finally going to leave the house, is he?
He's been gone for a while. What is it? January 25, I think, down in Florida. A big wedding date set.
Really?
So, yeah, that'll be two of the three.
There are worse places to get married.
Well, yeah. And the lady he's marrying is just a wonderful, wonderful young lady. We've met her. We totally, unequivocally approve. Fine Christian Lutheran lady.
That saves a lot of trouble.
There you go.
A lot of trouble. Trust me, it does.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. Yep, good.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and KFUO at KFUO.org. Let me read the text.
Please.
13 verses.
Please.
And
I'm not going to interrupt.
Now, look at this, though. Before we get to your commentary about what we're going to read here in a moment, once I finish this, we have to take a phone call.
Okay.
Because there's a rule here that says whenever anyone from Perryville calls, we go to them first.
We break in.
So, Randy, you hold tight. Let me read the text, then I'll go right to your phone call. Beginning at verse 1, chapter 12, book of Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars, forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times and a half, a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand, so I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the times of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." And that is the concluding verse of the book of Daniel. And as promised, Pastor Hendrick, Randy from Perryville. Good morning. You're up.
Good morning.
Good morning, Randy.
Hi, Sally.
Hi.
Sure glad to hear you. In addition to what you had just said before the break, you know, about faith and so on, what you said, I also think Bible class is vitally important in order to learn what to believe that's right and wrong, just like this wonderful program. And I just think that's vitally important. I think, and I was probably guilty of it too, when I was confirmed, I thought I knew it all. But the more I learn, the more I realize, the less I know. So I think this is vitally important.
Welcome to the club, Randy, and what a profound statement you've made there. By the way, that's Randy Lorenz. He is a faithful student in our Sunday morning adult Bible class and just a super knowledgeable man about the Word of God. He is absolutely correct. The more we learn, the more we realize how little we know. And the more we learn, the more we yearn to learn more. It's the way it works. And it's so sad that many people absent themselves from studying the Word of God. Certainly individually is good, but it's a relational thing also in a group setting. How we encourage people out there who are listening in, be involved in a good, solid Bible study activity to learn together with others and to search out the Scriptures.
Thanks so much. Enjoy your lunch.
Compliment. Thank you. We'll see you back in Perryville.
Thank you, Ray. You should bring him something.
Yeah.
Bring him a little something.
I'll bring him the scraps, the bill or something, you know.
All right. Yeah. Well, here we have Daniel 12 presented. We've read the text in full. We start out with angels, Michael, the protector, the I guess the patron angel of Israel.
That's an interesting thing. You know, there are, as you well know, different concepts of who or what Michael is. The name Michael itself means who is like God. Not the question, but a statement. Who is like God? Anytime I've told my people back in Perryville this time and time again, anytime you see a name that either begins with E-L or ends with E-L, it has something to do with God. And that's no less true here. I, for one, and I'm not going to impose this on anyone, I believe that Michael is a reference to Jesus Christ himself. Who other qualifies to be the archangel of God and to display the power, might, and majesty that Michael is described as having? Again, I'm not going to become dogmatic about that because Scripture doesn't clearly define it. But when you put all the pieces together with Michael, you know...
dogmatic is one thing. Just don't become catatonic.
Oh, goodness. I hope not.
You got me during the break. I had to get one back at you. But the... we have the vision again. Now, the vision is tripled. There is the man. Now, the man dressed in linen is now above the waters, raises hands to heaven. There are now two others, one on each side of the river. What is going on here?
Well, we've got, okay, I'm not going to claim to be an absolute expert on this. It appears to me that we've got life now and life already lived. We have those who are currently living, those who have already lived, and we have a context of all life. And that becomes a little more clear later on when it talks about all the dead will be awakened. You know, I mean, nobody's going to be spared no matter what they try to do to escape the final resurrection.
You know, when you see Daniel, do you not wonder, these Dummkopf Sadducees... There is no...
Did they speak German back then?
I guess they didn't listen to the prophets. I guess it was just the Torah is all they focused upon.
Well, and it's...
it seems plainly evident here in two parts of this text that there is a resurrection of the dead and eternal life, as you said, for all. The question is where.
Yeah. And of course, once again, we realize, again, from the revelation of the Holy Scripture, there are only two options there. No in-between either. It's either heaven or hell. And those who, by Spirit-given faith in Jesus Christ, either in the coming Christ, as was the perspective of the Old Testament, or in the having already come Christ, as in the perspective of the New Testament, those with Spirit-given faith in the Christ, in the Messiah, will arise to everlasting glory, not because of what they did, but because they're claiming what Christ did for them. And there's the real thing that blocks many people. They can't get it out of their mind that they're not the ones who can accomplish that. It's been accomplished for us.
So this, the end times, dare I say the word tribulation, is that what we're talking about?
Sure, sure.
There's going to be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations. So this is worse than worse than worse times five.
Well, and it continues to spiral. Don't we see that happening today? Again, I'm not a doomsday prophet. Nor am I one who will...
Well, in a sense you are, because that day is coming.
Well, okay, in the sense that I'm proclaiming what has been revealed,
exactly,
not in the sense of charting new ground, okay? Thank you for that clarification. By the way, it's a very important clarification, too. But what we have is the reality that things in nature, which is fallen, corrupted because of sin... continue to spiral downward. The proliferation of weather situations, the atmospheric conditions that continue to decline, all of these things are showing us that not when, but that an end is coming. Wake up, God is saying. Wake up and recognize that this is not all there is. What there is afterlife is what really matters. And the way to attain the greater afterlife is not through your own doing, but through Him who came to redeem you, Jesus Christ.
Now, you know, the popular narrative is that God is supposed to save us from suffering.
And
not,
He does.
Not through suffering.
Well, but it's a both and. He saves us through suffering, especially the suffering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But our own suffering is designed by God not only to help us guard against temptation, but also to help us build up a further faith in and dependence on Jesus Christ.
So there's a parallel here with the Exodus.
Oh, yeah.
Moses goes to Pharaoh, says, "Let my people go." What happens? It gets worse for the Jews. It doesn't get better.
No. But
ultimately, the deliverance comes.
But they had to go through all that wandering, that wilderness wandering stuff, in order to prepare them to enter the promised land. And there's a great analogy there. By the way, let's just clarify this real quickly. We have Old Testament historical fact being used by God to teach us lessons, spiritual lessons, just to clear up so that no one thinks we're talking about fairy tales here. But now, here we are living attempting to live a spiritual life here in time so that hereafter in eternity we can inherit eternal life. But we don't inherit eternal life because of the spiritual life we lived. And that's where many people go astray. It's not what we do that gets the eternal life. It's what Christ has done for us, totally, completely, and only. We receive it by faith, and it's a grace thing.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Back to the phones we go. Let's pick up a call from Maryland this morning. Maryland, good morning. How are things in
Granite City, Illinois? My goodness.
Well, yeah, across the river. But I just wanted to tell you, you know, when you spoke about that woman on CNN, said, "Yeah, but I'm an atheist."
Yeah.
My son sent me this book, and it was, in fact, autographed by the author, Leo Tharsnitz, and it's Surviving Hell. And this is from the Hanoi Hilton, and in fact, our Senator McCain, he was in that same prison. But initially, they were all held in individual cells and that, and then when Nixon got in office, they started bombing. And so, in fact, they moved a bunch of them into a common cell, like 42, and they decided to have church service. And on a Sunday, and in fact, they wanted agreement from everybody, and it was kind of a voice thing, and the senior officer there, and these were all Air Force and naval pilots, and he said, "No," he said, "I want each one individually, because you know what the implications are going to be. Whenever you say yes and we go ahead with its implications being the torture." Oh, their torture was just horrendous. But on Sunday it said that they came there and they knew in fact that the guards would burst in, and sure enough, as soon as they gathered together at the far end of the cell, they did, and they took the senior officer, and they knew that he would be taken to heartbreak for torture. And then his plan, the second ranking officer went forward. And he said, "Gentlemen, the Lord's Prayer." And he said, "We perhaps got halfway through the prayer when the guards grabbed that officer." And again, the third senior officer went forward. And this time, he said, "Gentlemen, the Lord's Prayer." And he said, "We got as far as Thy Kingdom Come before they grabbed him." And again, going off to heartbreak for hideous torture.
And it continues to just illustrate more and more, doesn't it, the time of trouble in which...
The number five ranking officer was way back in the corner and took his time moving toward the center. And this Sergeant Leo, he said he was number seven. He said he was hoping he'd walk slowly. But in fact, whenever he went up, that they did grab him. But then after that, it said five courageous officers were tortured. But I think they believed it was worth it.
Yep, absolutely. And it goes right along in the New Lutheran Study Bible. There's a statement here that says God's people would suffer greatly because of the great conflict. And you know, we see that in real ways in today. And what a beautiful illustration you just gave there. It's not just pie-in-the-sky stuff. How do we suffer today? Look at congregations declining, I believe, largely because they continue to boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That doesn't necessarily attract people in this day and age. What attracts people is worldly things, pleasure and recreation and entertainment and all. When we have worship in Perryville, we have people in our congregation, but we've got 2,000 to 3,000 people out on the soccer fields on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What are we worshiping?
Well, I think it's one of those self-evident truths. I think we know what we're worshiping. How about another phone call, Pastor? Are you ready?
Let's go.
Let's talk to one of your brother pastors in the faith here, Pastor Nabil Noor.
Oh, yeah. How are you doing, Pastor Noor?
I am doing very well. Shalom Aleichem. I'm looking at Daniel, and I heard you, brother, saying you would relate Michael to Jesus or something to that effect. Am I correct?
Right. Right.
Okay.
But not dogmatically.
That is correct. And I do appreciate that. I've never thought of it that way, but I looked at it again. I'm looking at verse 1 in 12 in the Hebrew. And in that time, or at that moment, Michael Hasar HaGadol, the great prince, he will be the one who will be standing to help the people, to protect them. And I thought of that, and the Hebrew is Mi Ki El, who is like unto God.
Correct.
And I just began to kind of connect all the points together here, in that, you know, the upcoming text for this Trinity Sunday is John chapter 8. And there, specifically, Jesus uses the Greek word ego, emi, I am.
Correct.
And they pick up stone. But you really need to understand why he used the word I am. Of course, often we go to right away to Exodus 3. But it's more than that. If you look at Isaiah 45:18, in essence, Jesus is saying, I am the Lord and there is no other. He takes it a little bit further, a step further. And I love your comment about Michael, who is the one who protects. He is the prince, the great prince. I think it's a type of Christ, excuse me. Yet, at the same time, it elaborates with such minute detail and clear crystal detail that this Christ is the one who saves, and there is no other who saves us.
Yeah.
And if you look at it in the Hebrew, he is Hasar HaGadol, the great prince, the one who will stand with your people, and the one who will protect them. And to see the protection... And of course, you can take that further in John chapter 10. Jesus says, no one can snatch my children out of my hand. You put all of these dots together, and you have a sweet melody of harmonious gospel that soothes the heart and gives peace to the mind.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just grand and victorious? And hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And I love what you said. You just threw a little more light on it for me. If Michael is not Jesus Christ himself, he at least points us without a doubt to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and the reason I say he is not is because we do know that in Revelation it talks about Michael the archangel. Although in the Hebrew we have in the Old Testament, specifically in Genesis 18, we have Malach Yahweh, the angel of the Lord. And, you know, you can play with that, and I don't want to push it one way or the other, but suffice to say, if you use that, then we can say, surely he can be, but I think it's a type to say, yes, he is my protector, he is my savior, he's my redeemer, he's the one who comes to the rescue. And of course, he rescued us from what? The devil and death and the grave and yes. all of that. That's yep. the greatest protection yep. we have.
Yep, how true. I have to tell you very quickly how much I admire and stand in great appreciation of your comments, of your knowledge of the Hebrew language. I wish I had just a tenth of what you have, but I don't. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Well,
God
let
bless
me,
you.
Let me reciprocate something. You may not know the Hebrew, but God has gifted you with such a gift that when you speak, ointment of healing pours upon your saints, and they are fed with that gospel, and when they leave, they say, thank you, Jesus, for giving us such a pastor who loves us, who cares for us, and who lets us see what you have done.
Thank you.
Indeed. God's blessings.
You also, my friend.
You
we
too.
Will talk soon. All right. How about one more quick call before we have to let you go, Pastor? We've got about 3 minutes for James. James, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
I really appreciate Pastor Noah also, because I had the question about how important it is to know that Michael stands up to protect and deliver Israel, that first verse. And the reason why I saw it as important is because one of Daniel's contemporaries, Zechariah, in Zechariah 3, verses 1 through 5, there is an angel of the Lord that stands up against Satan to restore and deliver Israel and Joshua in a messianic way. Could you possibly just read those verses at Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Pastor, and tell me if that angel of the Lord is also speaking of Michael and a deliverer?
Yeah, I don't
All
know.
Right, James, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if I can get there rapidly enough with just 2 minutes left, but James, know that we do appreciate that comment and the question, and perhaps either I or some following pastor can enlighten us on that more, too. Thank you very much. I do want to share two real quick comments as we run short on time.
Well, tell you what, I'll bring that up tomorrow when we do the overview and conclusion
great,
of Daniel. So finish
great,
your thoughts, and
great.
Then, James, we will get to that
yes.
question tomorrow.
Now, these come directly out of the New Lutheran Study Bible. Let me give the source for it. Number one, what Luther said. The 12th chapter of Daniel has to do wholly with the Antichrist and with these last times in which we are living. For this reason, we do not have to consult the histories any longer at this point. Rather, it is the clear gospel. Okay? That's very important. Now, go down to the closing comment. The long discourse of the man clothed in linen concludes with encouragement for Daniel. He is assured that Michael is in charge of Israel, the people will be delivered, and those whose names are written in God's book will rise to everlasting life in the end. Believers have always been curious about when the end of the world is coming. Some have tried to precisely determine that date based on the various numbers found in Daniel and other biblical books. Jesus made clear that no one knows that day and hour. Trying to guess the year has led to numerous false prophecies. The angel's advice to Daniel to go your way is good for us all. Know that you are in God's hand, and take comfort that He has allotted a place in heaven for you. And the concluding prayer, Almighty Father, I wait for you to guide my life as I go on my way to my heavenly home. Amen. And amen.
And amen. Pastor Tom Hendricks serves at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Perryville, Missouri. Now we call that what? What is it this week? The creche, the cradle, the
It is.
Manger?
It has been, is, and always will be the manger of the Missouri Saints. Got to get that alliteration in there.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm working on it. I appreciate your patience with me as a work in progress. All the best to the good folks down there at Emmanuel in Perryville. We're
Thank
looking
you very
forward
much.
To the festivals coming up.
And they're coming.
Got to get through
and
the summer
coming.
First. And yeah. also... Sally, thanks for coming in as always. Enjoy lunch.
And thanks to her for tutoring me on the way up here.
There you go. All right, guys, Faith and Family is next. We wrap up Daniel tomorrow with an overview and conclusion, and then James on Monday. We'll see you then.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.